but they may want to get some things from the worship center to take back. I have a song about a special delivery. I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you. You know it, sing along. I'm gonna tie me up in a red string. I'm gonna tie blue ribbons too. I'm gonna climb up in my mailbox. I'm gonna mail myself to you. When you see me in your mailbox, cut the string and let me out. Wash the glue off of my fingers. Stick some bubble gum in my mouth. Take me out of my wrapping paper. Wash the stamps off of my head. Pour me full of ice cream sodas. Put me in a nice warm bed. Thank you. Woody Guthrie wrote that song. Some of you I saw singing along. I'm gonna mail myself to you. You are a letter. Isn't that something to think of yourself as a letter, a reference letter for none other than Jesus Christ himself? You know about reference letters, right? It's what someone provides a potential employer. Reference letters are also used to credential people, trying to gain access to people they want to influence, like invitations to the royal wedding. I'm sorry, but George Clooney and Oprah did not get in without a credential. There's no way they got in without a piece of paper. Didn't matter who they were or are. Passports, those are credentials. You can get credentialed from one country to another, and you can't do that if you don't have your passport. I got an email a couple of weeks ago introducing me to someone wanting to talk to community groups, like our ICON group, about affordable housing. And since housing is one of the things we've been working on, this individual thought be a good thing to connect us. It's a little better than a cold call. One is credentialed by a third party known to both. Reference letters were an important part of building social capital in the ancient world. This is the very situation to which Paul addresses himself in this second known letter to the Christians in Corinth. Do you ever wonder how many letters he might have written to the Christians in Corinth? I imagine it may have been more than two. I just think so. Other religious types have shown up in Corinth with letters of recommendation. There is some name dropping going on here. And this is threatening Paul's leadership, his standing with the people at the church in Corinth. Paul cleverly reframes the conversation about reference letters. Instead of producing his own credentials, he points to the Corinthians as his reference letter. They are indisputably his work in the gospel. They are evidence of his work. Instead of seeking favor through a reference letter, Paul prefers to have his work speak for itself. You yourselves are our letter, he claims. You are the evidence of God's work. And later he writes that their competence is from God, and he's including the Corinthians in this we. He writes, God made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. So what he's done, since we're all in this together, if the Corinthians deny that Paul has God-given competence, they have to look in the mirror and see that, oops, maybe we don't either. Paul further includes the Corinthians in this circle of divine work when he writes, and you show that you are a letter of Christ prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You are a living letter of the risen Christ. Your life credentials Jesus Christ in the world. You are the passport that takes Christ from place to place. That's a big responsibility. Big responsibility. It's important to Paul that this letter is written on our hearts. He is referencing the prophet Jeremiah, who writes, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says God. I will put my law in them, within them, and I will write it on their hearts." What is written on our hearts? What do we allow to be written over and over on our hearts? What do we rehearse in our heads that gets saved on the hard drive of our hearts? Some of us in this room may remember writing lines. I don't know if they still do this. I hope to God they do not. It was a form of punishment in school. Students who broke rules had to write what they would not do 50, 100 times. Maybe you were one of those children who had to write lines. Maybe. I will not talk in class. I will not put gum in Tom's hair. I will not throw rocks at Mr. Kelly. You know, all these kinds of things. It's interesting to me that that's all about what not to do instead of, well, what's the preferred behavior? What do you want me to do? You don't want me to do this, but what do you want me to do? It's as if rehearsing what not to do over and over would really make a difference. And brain science tells us that what we've done to children by making them write lines is actually help them rehearse what not to do. I never saw lines work, just saying. In Harry Potter, Order of the Phoenix, the fifth in the series, the new defense against the dark arts teacher is none other than Dolores Umbridge, a rule and order megalomaniac and sadist behind a smile and a Pepto-Bismol pink suit. There she is, Professor Umbridge. Students who disobey the rules do lines for Professor Umbridge. Professor Umbridge has a special pen, a magic pen, requiring no ink. When the offending student begins to write lines, the words appear on the parchment in red and then disappear. And simultaneously, those words appear etched into the back of the student's hand. Ouch, drawing blood. You heard me say she's a megalomaniac and sadist. It's true. And all of the things we've wondered about her up until now that, I don't know if I like this character. Oh, now I know why I don't like this character. That's Professor Umbridge. Harry Potter wrote for over an hour, "I will not tell lies. I will not tell lies." It's been my observation that too many people write on their hearts with messages that do what the sinister pen of Professor Umbridge did. We rehearse the don'ts and the shouldn'ts. We rehearse the not good enoughs. And these lines get embedded in our very hearts, calcifying them. Being a reference letter for Christ is a big responsibility, privilege even. It is a holy calling, and it starts again and again with tending the heart upon which is written already grace, compassion, love, hope. That's the original text on your heart, the original text. It begins with allowing God to make tender our own heart when it has become hard with disappointment or disenchantment. It begins with letting the Spirit yet again blow open the door of our own heart when fear has locked it and lost the key. It is a lifelong practice, this tending of the heart. It's a lifelong practice Jesus invites every one of us into letting God in a little more and a little more, allowing Christ to reveal what is written there already and to write anew the words of God on our heart, like
grace and kindness, forgiveness, love, compassion, hope, courage. What else is written on your heart? It's a lifelong practice, tending the heart. So our living, even our very presence, credentials Christ in the world. You are a letter for Christ. You are being read every day. You are the evidence of the work that we share here together. By your being, just being in the world, you demonstrate our collective competence to be ministers for the gospel of Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and sing the hymn, Change My Heart, O God. And if you are looking for a church in which to serve the living Christ, I invite you to come forward and join this congregation by transfer of your membership or confession of faith in Christ. Let us sing together.